We will be in Mesichta Shvois, Daf Mem Hei, but we will start with Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis from the beginning of the Perek. And the Mishnah starts, Kol HaNishboin Shebetoyro, all those that are mechuyev to swear from the Torah. And as we learned earlier, that there are three types of people who have to swear Midraisa. That is, a Shvois HaShoyim, if a person watches something for somebody else, and later he claims it got stolen or lost. If he is a Shoyim Chinam, if he watches it without pay, then he just has to swear and he's free from paying. If he is a Shoyim Asocha, and he claims that an Oynus happened to it, then he has to swear and he's free from paying. Or the case of an Eidechot, if a person claims he doesn't owe, and a witness comes, one witness comes and says that he does owe, so he has to swear to contradict the witness. Or a shua of moed b'miktzah, if a person denies part of the claim and admits to part, so then midaraisa he has to swear. So all those that have to swear midaraisa, nishboin, the loy nishalmin, so the dinis, they have to swear and not pay, which means the one that is defending himself, that he doesn't owe, he is the one that swears. And if he swears, he doesn't pay. It's not that the teveya, the one that's claiming the money, he should be the one to swear. And after he swears, he gets his money, but it is the nitfa, the one that's being claimed against, he is the one that is supposed to swear, and if he swears, he doesn't pay. But the elu nishboin v'noiklin, but these other people did make a takana that when they claim, they should swear that their claim is true and they take, not that their opponent swears. And who are they? A sochir, a hired worker. For instance, if the worker claims that you didn't pay me my wages, so he has to swear and get his money. The hanigbo, or somebody who has been robbed, and he claims that that person robbed him, so he swears and takes. The hanigbo, the one who has been wounded, and he says that he claims that that person wounded him, he swears and gets his money. The chikanegdo choshed ala shvur, or the one that his opponent is suspected of taking a false oath. So then also we say that he cannot swear, so the one that's against him swears and gets his money. And the chen v'niyatim kosei, or the storekeeper with his booklet, which means that he wrote down in his booklet that he gave certain person money or food on the account of another person, and then the other person claims that he paid him. So the din is that the chen v'ni is the one that swears and gets his money. And the Gemara is going to explain all the cases. Hasochir, ketzad, what would be the case of the hired worker that we said that he swears and gets his money? Omer loy, if the worker says to the owner that hired him, "Can we cut? Give me my wages. She actually be other that you owe me." Who Omer? He says to him, "Nafati, I paid you." Hello, Omer, but he says to him, "Loy nafati, I didn't take. You never gave it to me." Hareza nishba v'noikul. So he swears and he gets his money. But we don't say that the other person, the balabai who hired him, has to swear that he gave him and wouldn't have to pay, but we say he is nishba v'noikul. The hired worker, he swears and he gets his money. And the Gemara will explain why the Chachamim made this takana that he should swear and get his money rather than the balabai should swear and not have to pay. But the Yehuda and the Buddha says, "Afshet heisham mikta haido." When is this deen that he swears? Only if there is a partial admission, which means that Yehuda holds that the Chachamim, when they made a takana that in the case of a sochah you have to swear, it doesn't mean that they made a takana of a shvua, that there is a shvua. The deen is you have to swear, but who should swear? The sochah should swear. All the Chachamim did was that if there is an obligation of a Shvua anyway, so then the Chachamim just switched it around and said, instead of the Nitva swearing, instead of the one that's being claimed against, to swear, to defend, but the one that's claiming he should swear. But the Chiyuv Shvua in itself has to be a Chiyuv Shvua Midraisa. And therefore he says that this deen is only if there was a Maidav Mikzah. If the owner who hired the worker claims, "I paid you part of it," and the worker said, "You didn't pay me anything at all," so then the balabai is a moedim mikta, so he is mechuyev to swear midaraisa. But midaraisa, the balabai would have to swear and be potter from paying. The Chachamim switched it around and said, "Let the sochir swear in this case and get his money." So the Yehuda holds in this case, and the same will be in the other cases later on, that the Chachamim did not establish a shvua here. We're only talking in a case where the shvua is supposed to be anyway. All the Chachamim did was they switched the shvua from the nitfa to the teveya. And that's why in this case too, only if the shvua is there anyway because he's a maid of a mikzah, That's when the Chachamim said that that shvuah that's supposed to be anyway should not be done by the other buyers, but by the sochir, and he should swear and get his money. Ketzad, for example, what would be the case where you would say that the sochir has to swear? According to the Yehudim, for instance, Omar Loi, if the hired worker says to him, ten lichori chamishim dinah sheyesh lo biyadcha, give me my wages, which is 50 dinah that you owe me, Hu Aimer, and he says to him, Kabalta dinah zov, you received one dinar, and I only owe you 49 dinrin. But then he is a Maidra Mikzah, and really he should have to swear. But Rabbi Yehuda said, the Chachamim said, that instead of the Rabbi is swearing, so the Sochi swears and gets his money. The second case mentioned before, of the din when the claimer swears, instead of the one that's being claimed against, was an Igzal. If he claims that he is owed money because he was robbed. Ketzad, what is the case? Ho yimid inoysa shenichnas abeisa lemashka nishaloi b'shir. If there were witnesses saying, I saw this person entering his house to take a mashkin without permission. Hu oime kelai netalti. So the one that was the owner of the house says, he took my vessel. He robbed me. So hu oime, and he says, loi netalti, I didn't take anything. Hu nishba venoito. So the one that claims that he was robbed, he swears, and he is supposed to pay him for his kelim. We don't say that let the accused robber swear that he didn't take anything and it should be potter, but rather we say that the one that's claiming that he was robbed, he swears that he did take it, and then he has to get paid. If you then, maybe this says here too, Achut Hesham, Mikzadah, when would this deem be? Only if there was a partial admission. Ketzad, for instance, Omar Loi, if he says to him, Shnei Kelim Natalto, you went into my house without permission, and you took two vessels, but who I man? He says, Loi Natalti Alech, I only took one, so then he is a Maidu Mikzah. But me that I say, there is an obligation of a shvur. But me that I say, who's supposed to swear? The one that's accused, and he becomes potter. So the Rabbanan said, rather than that, the nigzel swears, the one that's claiming, and if he swears, he gets paid. The next case mentioned in the Mishnah, where the one that claims has to swear, is a nirbal. If someone claims that he was wounded, the din is that he swears and gets his money. Ketzad, for instance, ho yimid inoysa shenichnas tachas yad shalit. People testified that they saw him enter to the other person, and he entered complete without any wound. The yotza chavul, and they saw him go out wounded. For oh my lord, he says to him, chabalti, you wounded me. For who I mean, he says, loy chabalti, I didn't wound you, I didn't do anything. So then, the one that's claiming that he wounded him has to swear, and he gets his money. Since the witnesses saw him entering complete and going out wounded, so we are pretty sure that he was wounded by that person, and therefore, we say that all he has to do is swear and get his money. But we don't say, let the other person swear and be free from paying, but in a case like this, we rather say that he swears that he was wounded by him, and he gets paid for his wound. But Yehudah Medibudu says, Achapesham Mikhehudah, that when is this deen only if there was a partial admission? Ketzad, for instance, Omar Loi Chaval Tebishtai. The same thing happened. People saw him go in complete and come out wounded. And he says, you wounded me twice. And he answers him, Loi Chaval Tebachel Acha, they only wounded you once. But he is a might of a mikzah, because for one wound he admits, and for that he admits he has to pay. He only denied the other wound. So he's a might of a mikzah, and he has to swear. The Chachamim swear, and instead of him swearing, the one that was wounded swears, and he gets his money. The next case mentioned previously in the Mishnah was, Shazaneg doi choshed ala shvua, if his opponent is suspected of swearing false, the muscle if someone claims something from somebody. And the other person is obligated to swear. But he's a person that is not trusted with the shvua, so then we reverse the shvua, and the one that's claiming swears, and after he swears, he gets his money. Ketzad, for instance, Acha shvua sa'edus, va'acha shvua sa'pikodun, va'afile shvua shok. If one person was suspected of swearing false, a shvua sa'edus, which means that at one point he swore that he doesn't know any testimony for somebody, and really he was lying because he did know testimony for somebody. So the male of this person is already known that he could swear false. So in this case also, if he is supposed to swear that he doesn't owe a certain amount of money to the other person, we can't make him swear because we know from a previous case that he swore false. In a case like this, he cannot swear, so his opponent, the one that's claiming, swears and gets his money. Or if it was a shvuah sa'pikodun, which means that he had an object that was given to him by somebody else to watch. And when the other person claimed it, he said, I gave it back to you, or you never gave it, whatever it was, he denied it. And he swore for that. And later we found out he was lying, so from now on, we can't trust him anymore to swear. So if he now is obligated to swear for whatever reason, he cannot swear. So the one that's claiming will swear and get his money. Even if he was caught swearing false, nothing to do with another person. the previous two cases, Shura Sages and Shura Tapikotin, were where he swore false against somebody. He lied to somebody and swore false. But now we're saying, even if he didn't lie to anybody, he just swore false against Hashem. He swore he was going to do something and he didn't do it. So we see that this person takes a Shavua lightly, so therefore, if he ever is obligated to swear to somebody, we can't trust him with a Shavua. And in a case like that, we would say, Shekhanad the Nishvah Menaitel, that the one that's claiming would have to swear instead of him, and would take his money. And it goes on even more. If one of them was a dice player, and we know that if you play with dice, you are a partial player. So he is also not trusted with a shvur. Or malva beribis, or he's a person that lends out money with ribis with interest, and you're not allowed to take interest. So therefore, by doing that, he becomes postulated. We can't trust him when he testifies, and we also can't trust him when he swears. Matricha yoinim, or he's a pigeon flyer, which is similar to mesacha v'kuvia. Because the reason that mesacha v'kuvia plays the dice is not trusted, because he is a gambler. Matricha yoinim, which means a pigeon flyer, was also a gambler. It would be two people, and they would fly their pigeons, have a race between their pigeons, and they would bet on it. So that is also gambling. And that would make a person possible aides and possible or a shviz, or the people who do business with fruit that grew during Shemitah, and you're not allowed to do business with it. So in all these cases, he would not be trusted to swear what would happen. So the one against him, his opponent, meaning the one that's claiming the money, would swear instead, and if he would swear, he would take his money. Then the Mishnah continues, what would be if they were both suspected? The claimer and the defendant both were suspected of swearing false. So you can't say that you give the shvua over to the one that's claiming, because you can't trust him either. So what happens, so the shvua goes back to its own place. And the Gemara will explain what that means. Whether it means it goes away from both of them, it goes back to its original source, to Hashem, and no one swears, or the pshat is that since both of them can't swear, so we give the shvua back to the original person who's supposed to swear, who's the defendant, and he swears, and if he swears, he doesn't pay. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. That Meir says, Yachloiku, that they divide. You cannot have them either one swear, and therefore you divide. Half loss goes for one, and half of the loss is to the other. The next case is said in the Mishnah, where we say that the claimer is the one that swears, is Achan ben Yapin Kosek. He's a storekeeper with his book. Kesa, what is the case? It doesn't mean that the storekeeper comes to the owner, to the person, and says to him that it's written in my book that you owe me 200 zoos. That is not sufficient to make him swear. Because the only time you make him swear is if there are lime adover, as we saw in the previous cases. When do we say that the claimer swears and takes the money? That's in the cases where there is very strong reason to assume that the money is owed to him. So then we say, all we want you is to swear, and then you will get your money. But if the storekeeper comes to the person and says to him, I see my book, you owe me 200 zoos, that is not sufficient to make the storekeeper swear and just get his money. So what is the case where we say that the chayv ben yapin kosei, that he swears and gets his money? Hello, the case is, oimer leiti, says to him, a person says to the storekeeper, ten libni sasayim chitin, give to my son two soft wheat. Or he says to him, ten lepoyeli, give to my worker, b'sela moez, money worth a sela. The person hired workers, and instead of paying them, he says, go to the storekeeper and take money on my account. And later on, who I mean asati, the storekeeper says, I gave, and therefore you owe me that money. The hen I mean, and they answer, or the son, or the case of the workers, they say, later Talmud, we never took, we never got it. So what does it mean? Who nish gavenoito, the storekeeper swears and gets his money. The hay nish going vinoitling. And the workers also swear and get their money. In other words, the balabais has to pay them both. The reason he has to pay the storekeeper, because the storekeeper has a good claim. You told me to give, I gave. And even though the workers will have to swear that they never got, so the storekeeper could say, I don't trust the workers with the shvua. You trusted them, but I don't trust them. And therefore, that they swear has nothing to do with me. I claim that you owe me. So we say, okay, so swear, and if you swear, you will get. And the same thing with the workers. The workers say, you had to give us, you never gave us. I, the storekeeper, swore that he gave, has nothing to do with us. We don't trust the storekeeper. You trusted him. You told him to give, but we don't trust him. And therefore, his shvua has nothing to do with us. So therefore, the din is that the workers also swear, and they get. So here we have a case that both of them swear, and both of them take. Omer Benani, the Benani said, Kaitzer, how could it be that Elu the Elu Boyim, that both of them come to the Bezin, Lidei Shvu Ashov, in order to swear a false Shvu'ah, which means that in a case like this, one of them is definitely lying. And Benani said that in a case where you know that one of the two is definitely lying, we cannot make them both swear. Elu, what does it mean? Who knows to Shalei the Shvu'ah? He, the storekeeper, gets his money and doesn't have to swear. The haynoitlin shalai b'shua. And the workers also get their money and don't swear. What is a deen? If Omar l'chen v'ni, if a person says to a storekeeper, 10 libet diner payers, give me fruit worth a diner. And also when he gave him the fruit, and Omar l'chen the storekeeper says to him, 10 libet diner, now pay me, give me the diner. Omar l'chen says to him, nesatig loch, I gave it to you already. And nesatig be unpili. And you put it in the till. Yishva Balabais and Nosan Loyf Adinir, the Balabais has to swear. And he gave him the dinner, and that's it, he doesn't have to pay him again. Oh, my Lord, he said to him, Tenli as a Pedoi. He says to the storekeeper, give me the fruit. He gave him the dinner, and then he says, now give me the fruit. Oh, my Lord. The storekeeper says to him, Nosatim, look, I gave it to you already. Well, he lacked him with the base, and you took him home already. So in this case, Yishva Chen, then the storekeeper swears, and he doesn't have to give him the fruit now. Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol Shah Peiroi the Yodai Al Ho Yoinah. That the one that has the fruit, his hand is on top. Which means, he argues again the first case. In the first case where it says that the Balabai swears that he gave him the dinar, and he doesn't have to pay him the dinar, so Rabbi Yehuda comes and says no, that he doesn't have to swear. Because it is not customary for a person to give away the fruit till he gets his money. Unless he sells on credit, so then he gives it on credit. But if he's not selling it on credit, so the custom is that first you get your money, then the storekeeper gives the fruit. And therefore, when the storekeeper claims that he didn't give him the money, we don't trust the storekeeper, since the Balabais already has the fruit in his hands, so Yodoy Alo Yoyne, his hands are on top, which means the hand of the Balabais on the top, and the Balabais don't even have to swear in order to become proper from paying him the money. But we just assume that he paid him without even swearing, and he doesn't have to give him the money. Then the Mishnah continues, Oh, Mother Shulchani, if a person says to a money exchanger, can we the dinar mice exchange for me for a dinar into mice? Mice are small copper change. And he said, here, I'm giving you a dinar. Now, I want you to exchange it for the value of a dinar in small change. And no sunlight. And he gave him the change. Oh, Mother, then the Shulchani says to him, can we have a dinar? Now, give me the dinar. Oh, Mother, and the Balabai says to him, Nasati loch, I gave it to you already. In the Sati Biuntil, and you put it in your till. You put it in your bag. The din is that Yishva Balabais, the Balabais has to swear that he gave him the money, and he is put it from pay. What happens if the case is the opposite? No, Tenli Yisab Dinah, first the Balabais gave him the dinner. Oh, my Lord, and then he says to the money exchanger, Tenli Yisab Mois, now give me the small change. Oh, my Lord, he says to him, Nesati Loch, I gave him to you, Vishlachta Lutech Kisicho, and you put it in your pocket. In this case, Yishva Shulchani. So the Shulchani, the money exchanger, has to swear that he gave already, and he is put it from giving. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ain't that a shulchani? It is not the custom of the shulchani. Lita in iser to give an iser, which is a small change, a cheyitol dinner until you first take the dinner. And therefore, in the first case, where he claims I never got the dinner from you, Rabbi Yehuda says that the Balabai does not have to swear. Before we said the Balabai swears that he already gave the dinner, and he spoke to us, Rabbi Yehuda says he doesn't have to swear because it is pretty sure that he already gave the dinner. Because otherwise, the shulchani would not have given him the change unless he would have first gotten the dinner." And since we see that the Balabais has the change in his hands, so we are pretty sure that he gave the dinar already. And therefore, in order for the Balabais to become potter, he doesn't have to swear. He is just potter with other shvuah. Then the Mishnah continues, Kishoim she amru, just like the Chachamim said, Hapayemes ksuba shalei tifra el b'shvuah, and if a woman is poikim her ksuba, which means she makes a blemish on the ksuba. Which means that if she comes with her ksuba to claim that she wants to get paid, but she admits that part of it was paid, and the husband says that I paid you everything, so in a case like this, the ksuba is not valid anymore. She cannot use the shtar, a document, the ksuba, to collect on this document. Because this ksuba definitely is not worth anything because she herself admits that part of it was paid. So in a case like that, in order for her to collect the rest of the money that she wants, she must swear. And the Chachamim also said, and if a woman wants to collect the ksuba, but one witness testifies that it was paid already, so then she has to swear in order to get paid. Also, the Chacham is a din, min chosim ishabadi, umin yichse yisayimim loy tifel abishvua. The said, if she wants to collect from the Chasim Mishabodim, if she wants to collect from property that's now at this point not in the possession of her husband, that owes her the money, but it was sold. In other words, this property was mortgaged to her Ksubit, but when she comes to collect it, it is not anymore in the possession of the husband that it was sold before. So the deen is that you're allowed to collect from the Chasim Mishabodim. But if you are owed money with a document, then you are able to collect from the Chasim Mishabodim. But the deen is that when she comes to collect from the Chasim Mishabodim, she has to first swear before she's able to collect. Or if she wants to collect from the Yisem, her husband died, and she wants to collect from the Ksuba, from the estate of her husband, that's now in the possession of the children of the Yisemim, so also she could collect only with a Shvur. Rachamim also said that if she's going to collect from her husband, but not in front of him, he is away. And through the Bezdin, she's going to collect from his estate. She only could collect with a Shvur. So just like the Chachamim said, the Din, concerning all these cases, that she could only collect with a Shvur, the Chayim, so to the Chachamim say, Hayisayim liyifrael of a Shvur. That when Yisayim come to collect, if children, orphans come to collect because they claim that a certain person owed their father money, and they want to collect the loan from that person, so the only way is that they could collect is through swearing. What do they swear? But since it wasn't owed to them, so how do they know whether the money is still owed or not? So what can they swear? So they swear, Shvua shele tokat na'aba v'le yomel na'aba. They swear that our father didn't command us, and our father didn't tell us that this was paid. In other words, as far as we know, it's not paid. We have a document which shows that you owe money, and our father never told us that he got paid for that loan. And they also have to swear that that we didn't find any document among the documents of our father that this document was paid, which means that they have to swear that we didn't find a receipt for this loan among the documents of our father. And after they swear that, then they could get paid. Rabbi Yochanan says, even if the son was born after the father died, so he swears that he didn't find any document amongst the documents that prove that it was paid, and he takes. Even though he cannot swear the first shvur, he cannot swear that my father didn't command me that this was paid, because when he was born, his father died already. But nevertheless, he could swear the other shvur, that he didn't find any document, which means any receipt showing that this was paid, and after he swears, he's able to collect. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, in Yesh Eidim, if there are witnesses, Sha'omar Ha'ab Bishas Mesosay, that the father said at the time of his death, Shtar Zer Eina Perua, that this Shtar, this document is not paid, for Noitul Shvoy Bishvur, that he's able to take with other Shvur. Then the mission continues, Eilun Ishvoy in Shvoy Bishvur, these are the people who have to swear, even though there is no definite claim, should be in partners, if one partner suspects the other one of stealing, but he doesn't have a definite claim to say you took this or you took that, he could make him swear. But he's seen an artist, that's a worker, a person who leases a field from an owner, and the payment he gets is that he gives him a certain percentage, and he takes for himself a certain percentage of what grows. So if the owner of the field suspects the artist of stealing, even though he doesn't have a definite sign there, he could make him swear. The apotropin, or the administrator, the person appoints an administrator to take care of his finances, whether it is for Yisraelim or for his own finances. And if he suspects maybe his soul, he's able to make him swear. For or a woman, a wife, who takes care of the affairs in the house, or ben habayis, or the son of the house, which means one of the family members who takes care of the household. So in all these cases, if he says to him, Omalo, he says to him, what are you claiming against me? And he answers in return, Nishatibali, all I want is you to swear to me. Chayiv, he is chayiv to swear, he's obligated to swear. Is the partners or the arisin divided, they split the partnership in Yochalash Biyot. So then already he cannot make him swear. Which means that after they divided already and each one took a share, later he comes and says, well, maybe you stole from me. So if he doesn't have a definite sign, then he cannot make the other one swear. That if there was a shvur that was imposed on him from a different place, which means for a different reason he had to swear to him, then we already put upon him all the rest, which means then he could even make him swear for this which he doesn't have a definite taina. Since he has to swear already for the other taina, he can make him swear for this also. Then the Mishnah says, V'hashviz mishamesis v'hashvur. Shemitah makes the shvur drop. That just like by a loan, the deen is that if you owe somebody money, and Shemitah comes around, you are potter from paying,
So too, if he has a claim against you, and the deen was that you have to swear, a shmita passes, you are parted from the shvur. Because the shvur is instead of your payment, and since you are parted from paying, if you will have owed, so you are parted from the shvur. Now the Gemara will explain the Mishnah. I said in the Mishnah, Kol anish boi shibbe teira. Nish boi v'loi mishalmin. Although they have to swear from the teira. The deen is that they swear and don't pay, which means the defendant swears. And he is parted from paying. I mean, no one, how do we know that? And the Gemara answers, Amaka, because the Pasuk says, let the owner take it and not pay. The beginning of the pasuk is Shvuah Hashem Tia Bein Shneihem. The Shvuah of Hashem should be between them. Then the pasuk continues, let the owner take it, lo yishalem, not to pay. What does that mean? Let him take what? Let him take the Shvuah that was given to him, and then the one that swore should not pay. So from here we know that Mi Shalom Lishalem, the one that had to pay, lo yishvuah, he is the one that has to swear. Because the pasuk says that the Baal of takes the Shvuah, and that's all, and he doesn't get paid. So obviously, who gave the Shvuah? The one that was supposed to pay. The Shvuah instead of the payment. So from there we see that whenever there's a Chiyuv Shvuah, the defendant is the one that has to swear. But the Mishnah continues, Eilu Nishboim V'Noi Techulu. These are the ones that do swear and take, where the claimer is the one that swears, and he takes his money. And the Mishnah mentioned a few cases. One of them was a Sochi. The one that claims that he wasn't paid his wages, and the Balabai says he did pay him, so the Dini is the Sochi swears he didn't get paid, and he gets his money. But the Gemara asks, Ma'ishna Sochi Bitkinu Lirabonah D'Mishtava V'Shokil. Why is the Sochi a hired worker? Different, the Rachamim made this Chakone, and he should swear and get his money. Oh, my Rav Yehuda Mashmul, so Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmul, Halacha is G'dayla Shonakan. Big halachas we learned here. This is a special big Din. But in the meantime, before the Gemara explains, the Gemara asks, halachas, how can you call this halachas? Usually the expression halachas refers to halacha la Moshe Sinai. So those dinim that were handed down from Moshe Rabbeinu from Sinai. Now these are not halachas handed down from Moshe Rabbeinu, this is a takana to Chachamim. Tane hilchas aninu, are they halachas? Elo the Gemara's aim is say, takana is gedoy l'shanakan. Big takana is big established takana that the Chachamim were said here. But the Gemara asks, since you say G'doyler, there are big takonis, Mechlal, that proves that each takonis and some other takonis are small, which takonis of the Chachamim are considered small takonis? They're all big takonis. Elam, Rav Nachman, therefore Rav Nachman said, Amar Shmuel, the name of Shmuel, what does he mean? Takonis kavuah shenekan. There is an established takonis here. There is something very established and very important here. That what? Rakru, Rabbanon, the Shvuah, and Balabais. Rabbanon took away the Shvuah from the Balabais. The Shadu Asachim, they put it on the worker, Mishum Kedai Chayo, because of the life of the Sochi, which means that Rabbanon wants to help out the hired worker. It should be easier for him to get his money. So instead of saying that the Balabai should swear and not have to pay, the Chachamim made it easier for the Sochi, so he should be able to have Parnasa easier, he should be able to earn his livelihood easier, but he swears and he gets his money. But the Gemara asks, Mishum Kedai Chayo of the Sochi, continually the Balabai, is it possible that because of the livelihood of the hired worker, we will find the Balabais. In other words, really the Balabais has to swear. We're just doing a favor to Sochir, and we make him swear. But how can we do that? In order to do a favor to the Sochir, we should fine and harm the Balabais. The Balabais could claim, why should I not swear? I'm ready to swear. If I swear, I'm perfect. It's because you want to do him a favor, you're going to take away my rights. The Gemara says, Balabais Gufei, the Balabais himself, Nichalei the Mishtab Sochir. He's also happier that the Sochir will swear. The Shokir, and he should get his money. Yeheche, the Izgir only Poyalim. In order to be easier for him to hire workers, every Balabais is happy. But if ever something like this will come around, the deen should be that the Sochir should swear and get his money for the benefit. So it'll be easier for people to hire themselves out. So the Balabatim will be able to hire workers easier. So the Balabais himself is happy that the deen is that the Sochir should swear. So he knows that whenever he'll have to hire workers, the workers won't be afraid to hire themselves out, because they will know that just in case there will be a dispute, it'll be easy for them to get the money. So the Balabais himself is happy about that. But the Gemara asks, Adarabe, just say the opposite. Sochir Nichalil, Dishtar Balabais and Nifka, isn't the worker happy? But the Balabai should have to swear and be parted from paying. In order the Balabai should hire them, wouldn't a Sochir want that the deen should be that it should be easy for a Balabai to hire workers, because every Sochir is looking for work? Now if he's going to know that the deen will be that whenever there is a dispute, then the Sochir swears and the Balabai has to pay. So the Balabai will be more careful when he hires workers. Now if he's going to know that the deen will be that whenever there is a dispute, then the sochi swears, and the balabais has to pay, so the balabais will be more careful when he hires workers. And the workers want it to be easy for them to get work. So why shouldn't we say the same swear as we said before? That the worker wants the balabais should have to swear, so the balabasim will hire workers easier, so the workers will find jobs easier. So the Gemara says, balabais al-kurhiyage. The balabais, who needs their work done for him, will no matter what hire the worker. In other words, the workers are not afraid that they will not find jobs easy, because if the job has to be done, the balabais will hire him no matter what. So the Gemara asks, sochiname al-kurhiyage. So if so, well, don't we say also that the sochir will hire himself out no matter what? Why did we say before? That the balabais is happy that the sochir should swear and get his money. So it will be easier for them to hire themselves out. Why don't we say the same for it? That a person who is looking for work, no matter what, will hire himself out. So why is the balabais happy? That it should be easier for the sochir to collect his money, because otherwise he won't be able to find workers. He'll find workers anyway, because the workers who need work will hire themselves out no matter what the deen will be. Hello, therefore, the Gemara says there's a different reason. But Abai started with Toyalafu. The reason we trust more the worker and make him swear and get his money rather than the Balabai is because the Balabai is busy with his worker, which means he has to pay a lot of workers. And therefore, he could make a mistake and think that he paid him already when he really paid other people and not him. So therefore, there is more reason to say the Balabai made a mistake rather than the worker. That's why we say that a worker swears and gets his money rather than the Balabai should swear and be perfect. But the Gemara asks, if so, the lazy labor leishvur, let's give him without a shvur if we trust the worker over the Balabai. So why don't we say that if the worker claims he wasn't paid, he should get his money without a shvur, because we will say that the Balabai probably thinks he paid him when really he paid other workers and not him. And the Gemara answers the reason we make him swear, kedei lohaf his baita shabalabai, in order to appease the Balabai. Because of this, the Balabai will complain that why do you believe him and make me pay? So we say, okay, let him swear, and after he swears, that's when he gets his money. But then the Gemara asks, v'leisiv leibei edim, why shouldn't the Chachamim make a deen that a person should not be able to pay his workers unless he does it in front of witnesses? Then everything will fall off. But if we say maybe he made a mistake, he thinks he paid him. But if the deen will be that you only have to pay in front of witnesses, so then, if he will have witnesses, then we will know for sure that he paid. If he won't have witnesses, we will know for sure he didn't pay, and he will have to pay without the workers swearing. But the Gemara says, trichale milse. It's too much of a bother to always have to find witnesses. But then the Gemara asks, the lace of Lemia Kara, why shouldn't the Chachamim make a din that he should have to pay his worker in the morning before they start their work? So then we will know in the evening that if he claims that he didn't pay him yet, he will not get anything. They won't make him swear, but they won't pay him either. Because if every balabai has to pay before the work starts, so then this worker definitely would not have worked if he wouldn't have got paid. Since he did work, so we know for sure he got paid, so if he claims his money now, we will know that he's lying. And he will not get his money, but we will not have any shvur involved. But the Gemara answers, Shneim rotz b'hakosa, that both the balabais and the worker would rather not get paid in the beginning, but leave it for the evening. The balabais is because sometimes he doesn't have money in the morning, and therefore it's easier for him if he doesn't have to pay in the morning. The worker also is afraid that if he's going to get his money in the morning, then he might use up the money during the day before he's finished for the day. He'd rather wait with his money till the evening, and therefore the Chachamim didn't make this takana that you should have to pay your workers in the morning. But then the Gemara asks, if so, if the reason the Chachamim took away the shvur from the balabais and put it on the worker is because the balabais is busy with his workers and maybe made a mistake and thinks he paid him already, even his dispute is not over whether he paid him or not, but it is over how much money they made up to begin with to pay, the deen should be the same. And why don't we say, since he's busy with his workers, he doesn't remember exactly how much he made up, and we should always trust the sochir when he claims that they made up to pay a certain amount of money? Why did we learn? Tell the Braise that if the worker says, you promised you made up to pay me two. I only made up to pay you one. The one that's trying to get the money out, he has to prove it. In other words, the worker has to prove that he made up to pay him too. And as long as he doesn't prove it, which means he doesn't bring witnesses, then the deen is that he only pays him one. But why don't we say the same thing? That since the Baba Bais is busy with his workers, so probably he doesn't remember exactly what he made up. Since there are other workers that he made up with them differently, he doesn't remember. He thinks he made up with him for one and really made up for two. So why don't he say that the Sakhir should be believed? Let him swear, and he should be believed. And here we see that the deen is not so. The deen is that he only pays him one unless the worker has witnesses that he made up for two. But the Gemara answers, Ketita vada mitcha dochilei. How much you make up l'chatchile, that definitely he remembers. When do we say Balabai doesn't remember, that is whether he paid b'chal or not? Since he pays others, he doesn't remember whether he paid him. But how much money he made up to pay him, that for sure he remembers, and therefore there is no reason to assume that the Balabai is making a mistake, rather than the Sakhir, and therefore, since we don't know who's right, the Diniz, Hamayt Mechabere Olavarai. Then the Gemara asks, Tiyach, if so, the reason you say that when the Sakhir claims you didn't pay me and he should have paid you. We took away the shvuah from the Balabais and gave it to the Sakhir because the Balabais is busy with his workers. The same thing should be even if the time passed, which means the time of collection passed. Still the Sakhir should be believed over the Balabais. There is a certain time when we call a time of collection. It says in the Gemara of Mitzvah and Perek Amakabal that Kuv Rav Amitbeis. A Sakhir Yoyim, a person who was hired to work for the day, his time of collection is all night. A Sakhir Laila, a person who was hired to work through the night, his time of collection is all next day. So the deen should be that even if that time of collection passed, and the Sakhir claims he didn't pay me, still we should say that he is believed, so all he should do is to swear and collect his money. Allah Matanya, why did you learn in the Braise? Over as Manoi, if the time of collection passed, the Loi Nosanoi, and he didn't give him, then he, the deen is not that he swears, that the worker swears and gets his money. Because Chazokia, there is an established fact that Ein Balabais, or give about Tolin, the Balabais would not be over the Avera of Baal Tolin. Of having the wages stay over the time. The dini that they pay, Balabai does not pay his workers. When the time of payment is there, and he lets the time pass, he's over on a lab of loy selling, and he's not allowed to let the wages sleep over its time. So therefore the dini that if the time passed, and then the Sakhir says that you didn't pay me, here the dini that we don't say that the Sakhir, the worker, swears and gets his money, because here we assume that probably the Balabais is right that he did pay, because we don't suspect a person being over an Aveira, transgressing the Aveira of Balsam. But for Amr, didn't you say Balabais started the prayer of who? And the reason we believe the Sakhir over the Balabais is because the Balabais is busy with his workers, so it's not because we're afraid he's lying. When could we make this difference? Whether it was in the time of payment or after the time of payment, only if we suspect that the Balabais is lying. So then we would say, we suspect he's lying, and that's why the Sakhir is believed. But if the time passed, so then it's not only a lie, but then it's more than that. Then he's again evadably stolen, and that we don't suspect. Then we would understand. But we said the reason why we believe the Sakhir is not because we suspect the Balabais is lying. We suspect the Balabais for that, because he's busy with his workers, and he thinks he paid him, and he really didn't. So in that case, what difference does it make whether it's before the time or after the time? And the reason we gave why after the time we don't believe the Sakhir is because the Balabais would not be arguing about selling, but if the reason is because we're afraid that he forgot, that there's nothing to do about selling. He thinks he paid. So even if the time passed, still we should believe the Sakhir. And not the Balabais, because we assume that the Balabais thinks that he paid, and really he didn't. And the reason he could make such a mistake is because he's busy with his worker. So the Gemara says, Hani Mila, when do we say he's busy with his worker? And he makes a mistake. Nikame delim teiz man chayuvehu. Before the time of payment comes, before the time when you are obligated to pay comes. But the Gemara says, man chayuvehu, but when the time of payment comes, Rami Anavshe, he puts himself to it, umitche, and he reminds himself. So even though before the time passes, we believe the Sakhir because we say he forgot, because he thinks he paid him and really didn't. But when the time of payment is about to pass, we assume that he probably will sit down and think about it again and try to remind himself. And if he really didn't pay, he would have reminded himself he didn't pay. And therefore, if he still claims afterward he didn't pay, so then we don't say he made a mistake. The only possibility is that maybe he's lying, and that we don't suspect, because we don't suspect that he would be over it unless he sold it. But then the Gemara asks, why do we say we'd rather believe the Balabai? Because if he is lying, he'll over and like selling. But why don't we say that we'd rather believe the Sakhir? Because if he is lying, he'll be over on the Sigzo, he'll be over on stealing. So why is the most better to say that the Balabais is not lying because he wouldn't be over on the Laveda of the Sigzo, rather than saying the Sakhir is not lying because he wouldn't be over on the Laveda of the Sigzo? And the Gemara answers, God, the Balabais, he could take Chazotis. To believe the Balabais, we have two reasons, we have two Chazotis. Chodeh, the aim Balabayis, Oizer Baltolin. One meaning is because we assume the Balabayis would not be Oizer and Loisolin and not paying on time. The Chodeh, the Ein Sochir, Mashas Chodeh. There's another Chazep, there's another established fact that a worker does not wait with his payment. And therefore, since the worker did not claim his payment till after the time passed, there is a strong reason to say that probably he got paid. Because if he wouldn't get paid, he wouldn't wait till now. So that's another reason to say that the Balabayis is not lying. So there are two reasons to say that Balabayis is not lying. There's only one reason to say that the Sochir is not lying, and that is that we assume that he's not over on the signal. So when we have two Sforas against one, we follow the two, and therefore we say probably the Balabayis is not lying, and therefore the Din is that if he's claiming his salary, his wages, after the time has passed, we don't believe the Sochir, and we believe the Balabayis, and the Balabayis does not have to pay. Then the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel." Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, "Lo Yishonu." The din of the Mishnah was not said Elosh Sochir Be'edim. Only if he hired him in front of witnesses. The witnesses that saw that he said, "You want to come and work for me," and he agreed. So then we say, if later on the Sochir said he didn't pay me, so we believe the Sochir, so he has to swear and get his money. Avo Sochir Shloim Be'edim. But if he hired him without witnesses, so then we say, "Mitoich Sheyachal Loim Aloy." Lo Yisachatzi Chamei Olam. Since he's able to say to him, "I never hired you." Yochalayim Eloi is also able to say to him, Shechaticha, I hired you, and Nesati Lach Kodach, and I gave you your wages. He has a migud. Since he could have signed a different signer, and he would have been believed and would have been parted from paying, so we say, if he would want to lie, he could have lied a better lie. He could have said, "I never hired you." Since he doesn't say that, obviously he is not lying, and therefore he is believed when he says, "I paid you." But this is only if there were no witnesses that hired him. So then he could have said, "I never hired you." But if he hired him in front of witnesses, so he could not have said, "I didn't hire you." So he doesn't have the migud. So then we say that we don't believe the Balabayis, that we believe the Sochir, that he didn't get paid. Armin later said to him, "Yashir, you are right." And Rabbi Yochanan also said that this thing is true. And the Gemara asks, by him saying that this, Rabbi Yochanan also says this is right, Michlal, does that prove the Palilei Rishlokish, that the Rishlokish argues, because since he said that Rabbi Yochanan also holds like that, obviously somebody argues against him. Who is the one that usually argues with Rabbi Yochanan? This is Rishlokish. So the Gemara is asking, does that mean that Rishlokish argues on this being? The Gemara is like this. Ikedam, some say, Mishtav Shosilei Gashosikle. That when Rabbi Yitzchok was in the yeshiva and he heard Rabbi Yochanan say this, Rishlokish was there too, but Rishlokish was drinking water at the time when Rabbi Yochanan said it, so therefore he couldn't argue against him, so he was quiet. And Rabbi Yitzchok walked out, and Rabbi Yitzchok didn't know what happened later on, whether Rishlokish later on argued or Rishlokish agreed. So that's why it's not ayat that Rishlokish argued. Ikidam, some say, Mishav Shoilei Gashosikle. That the custom of Rishlokish was that whenever he used to be in the Bismedrish and Rabbi Yochanan used to say a din, he didn't argue right away. He would wait, he would let Rabbi Yochanan say his whole din with all the details. After everything was finished, that's when he would start talking. But till then, he was quiet. So the Yitzchak heard Rabbi Yochanan say the din, and he heard the Rishlokish being quiet, and he walked out before it was finished, so he doesn't know what happened later on, whether the Rishlokish argued against Rabbi Yochanan or the Rishlokish didn't argue against Rabbi Yochanan. More than eat manana, we also learned Omer Rav Nashe Bas Vida Marav. Rav Nashe Bas Vida the name of Rav. Leishan the din of the Mishnah that we trust the Sochir and we make him swear and get his money. Because all he said, Elosh Sochir Be'edim, if you hired him with witnesses. Avo Sochir Shaloi Be'edim, but if you hired him without witnesses, so Mitorich Sheyachal Loimele. Since he could say to him, Lo Yisachaticha Mayoilam, I never hired you. Yachal Loimele, he could also say to him, Sachaticha, I hired you, and in fact, I gave you your wages. He has a migui, and therefore the Balabai should be believed. Rama Bachamis said, "Kama Maile Hoshmaitse." How good is this din? Rama later of it, Rama said to him, "My Malyuse, what's so good about it?" On the contrary, I could show you how this din is not right. Because if this din is right, in came it so, Shvuot Shoimim, the Chayiv Rachmana, Hecha Mishkachas Lo. We know that the Torah obligated a Shoimer to swear. How is it possible? For instance, a Shoimer Socher, a person who watches something for somebody else for pay. And the din is Chayiv for Gnei V'Aveda, if it got lost or stone, he's obligated to pay. But if it happened by Einus, if an accident happened to it, then he's Fotter. But he has to swear that it was by Einus, and then he becomes Fotter. But how can the din be such a din that he has to swear? Since he could say to him, this never happened, you never gave it to me to watch, he should be able to say to him then too, that by accident it got broken or whatever happened to it. If you accept such a migui, then every shomer has such a migui. So whenever a shomer claims a taina that he is part of the Tainu, why should he have to swear? Why don't we believe him? Because he has a mikra. He could have said, you never gave it to me, and he would have been believed. And now too, when he said, you gave it to me. But it happened behind this, for instance, by the case of Hashem HaSochar, he should be put. And since we do find in the Torah the Deen of Shavuot Hashemim, obviously we don't say this mikra. So how can you say this mikra? The Deen of this mikra is a good swara, but here it seems like it's not a good swara. And the Gemara answers, there is a possibility of Shavuot Hashemim to ask his that he gave it to him to watch in front of witnesses. So then he couldn't say that you never gave it to me, so he doesn't have the migui. So that's when he has to swear. So from the fact that the Torah says that there is a deen of Shavuot Hashemim, there's no raya we don't say this migui. Because maybe the deen of the Torah, which Shavuot Hashemim, is only when there is no migui. When he gave it to him in front of witnesses. But the Gemara asks, there's still a migui. Since he could say to him, I returned it to you. So he should be able to say to him that it got stolen or lost by accident. An accident happened to it. In other words, there's a different migui. Even if it was given in front of Adim, there is still a migui. Because if he would have said, I returned it to you, he would depart there. But now that he said that it mansoon, I just happened to it, he should also be believed, and he should depart there from a shvur. And since we say that there is a chiyuv shvur, obviously we don't say this migui. But the Gemara says, no, the ask is leibishtare. The case could be when he gave it to him with a document. So here, he cannot say that I returned it to you. Because if he would have returned it to him, what's the document doing in his hand? He should have given him back the document. So in a case like this, he has no migui because he can't say that I returned it to you. Because the other one has the document that he gave it to him. So since he has no migui, so when he claims, then so he has to swear. So we have no raya from this din of Shavuot Hashemim, but we don't say the migui. Then the Gemara says, Nichlau, from this we see that Ravaya, both of them, meaning Rav Rachame and Rav Sviru, they both hold, Hamaski, they tzachavei, they be'edim, that if you hide something, you give something to watch to somebody else in front of witnesses, ein tzarich lahavdil le'be'edim. You don't have to return it in front of witnesses. But if you give it to him, b'shtar, you give it to him. With a document, tzarich lahavdil le'be'edim, you do have to return it in front of witnesses. Because here we see that when he said to him that he has no migui, and the reason was he said because it could be talking in a case where he gave it to him in front of witnesses, the Gemara asked, he still has a migui, and he could have said, I returned it to you. Now if the din would be that when you give it to him in front of witnesses, you must return it in front of witnesses, so what kind of question did he ask him? That he still could have a migui, he returned it. He doesn't have a migui. He couldn't claim he returned it because he would have had to do it in front of witnesses. Since he asked him the question, and he accepted the question, and therefore he had to answer him that the cases where he gave it to him in front of with a shtar, that shows that both of them hold. And even if you give it to him in front of witnesses, he doesn't have to return it in front of witnesses. And therefore, if he gives it to him in front of witnesses, later on he could have said, I returned it to you, even though he has no witnesses. Because he did not have to return it in front of witnesses. So from this discussion, we see that both of them hold this deen. That if you give an object to somebody to watch in front of witnesses, you don't have to return it in front of witnesses. On the other hand, we see, since later on he answered him that the reason he has no migui is because he gave it to him with a document, and that was accepted answer, that in a case like that, he cannot say that I returned it to you. So that proves that if you give somebody to watch something with a document, so then when he returns it, he must do it in front of witnesses. And if he didn't do it in front of witnesses, he could always say that you didn't return it to me. Because we see that in that case, they both agreed that he had no migui. And if he gave it to him with a document, later on he could not have claimed that I returned it to you in order to have a migui in the case where he says an answer. And since this is an accepted answer by both, so we see that both, Rav Rachame and Rav, that they both hold that if you give him to watch with a document, he only is able to return it in front of witnesses. And if he doesn't return it in front of witnesses, then he is not believed when he says, I returned it to you. Concerning what the Gemara said in the beginning, that the Chacham made a special takonic concerning the Seichel, and the Gemara uses the lashon Okru Rabbanon Shvuah Mibalabais, the Rabbanon Torah took away the Shvuah from the Balabais, and they put it on the surface. The first is the Kasha, how can the Gemara use the lashon that they took away the Shvuah from the Balabais and put it on the surface as if saying that originally the Balabais had to swear? Chacham took it away and put it on the surface. And the case mentioned here is the case of a Kofar HaKoil. The Seichel says to the Balabais, you didn't pay me the wages, and he says, I did. So he's a Kofar HaKoil. Now a Kofar HaKoil is part of him a Shvuah. So originally there is no Shvuah at all. The Chachamim established the din of a Shvuah, and they said, who should swear, not the Balabais, but the Sochet. But we can't say they took away the Shvuah from the Balabais and gave it to the Sochet. because the Balabais never had to swear. Even though we learned before that Reb Nachman established the Shvuas Hesed for Akoy Terakoyl, and even if you deny completely, nevertheless, Midarabonin, you have to swear Shvuas Hesed, that this was established much later. This was established through Reb Nachman. But in the time of the Mishnah, there was no Shvuas for Akoy Terakoyl. So if not for the special Takana, then what would be the deen? No one has to swear. So what is the pshat in the Mishnah? In this case, the Chachamim took the Shvuah away from the Balabais and gave it to the Sochet. The Tosfos says that it doesn't mean that he originally had to swear, but since the Chachamim, when they did establish that in this case, when there's an argument between the Sochet and the Balabais, that it has to be a Shvuah, the Shvuah would belong more to the Balabais than to the Sochet. Since the Balabais is the one that is denying it, he's the defendant, and normally a defendant has to swear, so it would make more sense that when the Chachamim did for some reason establish a Shvuah here, the Shvuah should be for the Balabais. And therefore it makes sense to say that the Chachamim took it away from the Balabais and gave it to the Sochet. It doesn't mean that at one point it was on the Balabais, and later on it was taken away from him and put it to the Sochet, but it means that this Shvuah that should have been established on the Balabais was established on the Sochet instead. So that's the pshat in the Russian, a Krura and another answer to is that really this deen applies also in the case of a Moedah B'Mikvah. Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah learn it only by a Moedah B'Mikvah, but the Chachamim learn it applies not only by a Moedah B'Mikvah, but everyone agrees that in the case of a Moedah B'Mikvah the deen also applies, which means that if the Sochet says to him, you owe me the wages, and he says, I paid you part of it, so then also the Sochet is relieved, he swears and takes. Now here definitely the deen is that the Balabais originally was supposed to swear because he's a Moedah B'Mikvah, and nevertheless the Chachamim took the Shvuah away from him and put it on the Sochet, and because of a Moedah B'Mikvah, the Gemara uses this lotion also in the case of a Kosev HaKosev. Concerning the reason the Gemara gave, that why Taka did they put it on the Sochet, because the Balabais is busy with his workers, since he paid many workers he could make a mistake and think he paid this one too, the Tosfos says L'chura, this would only be in the case where he has many workers. Why is the deen that even if the Balabais has only this one worker, still we say that the worker is believed and the worker swears and gets his money? But L'chura, here he cannot take the slaughter of Balabais instead of the Poyala. And Tosfos says that here we use the lost deen of Lake Fluke. There is a cloud that a lot of times the Chachamim establish certain deenim, and even if there are specific cases when the deenim should not be, because the reason for the deen does not apply, nevertheless we say Lake Fluke, the Chachamim did not make any differences. Since they established the deen in a certain case or in many cases in one way, they didn't want to make the differences that in certain cases it should apply, in certain cases it shouldn't apply. This deen applies to all cases, and therefore here too, since in the case where he has many workers, there is a spot to say the Sochet should swear, so even if there's only one worker, the deen remains that the Sochet swears. Later on, when the Gemara says there's a difference whether he asks, he claims the money before the time passed or after the time passed. And the Gemara says before the time passed, then we say that we believe the Sochet because the Balabais is busy with his workers and probably made a mistake. But after the time, we say, then Rami Anafshe Mitka, he reminds himself. And therefore, there we don't believe the Sochet. The first is that Akasha, if so, why isn't the deen that we should always have to wait till the next day? And if ever a worker comes to claim the money from his Balabais during the time of the Chiyuv, let's tell him, let's wait till tomorrow, since we have a cloud that by the time it passes, so then the Balabais reminds himself, so then we'll see. If he will remind himself later, then he will pay him. If he won't remind himself later, then probably he didn't make a mistake, but the Balabais feels that he did pay, and then the deen would be the Sochet would have to bring the ayah. Why is the deen that when he comes within the time of payment to claim, right away we say, he swears and gets his money? Why don't he say he shouldn't swear, wait till the next day, or he'll remind himself, and if not, he will believe the Balabais as much as he will believe the Sochet. And also take Jessica Kasher, if we say it when the time passes, the Balabais is able to remind himself. So then the whole deen falls off. The whole reason we said that the Balabais doesn't swear, really he has to swear. But the Chachamim says, let the Sochet swear because the Balabais is making a mistake. But if he will make him swear, then definitely he will try to remind himself and he will remind himself. Just like we say after the Zman Chiyuv, we don't believe the Sochet because we say he reminded himself. So if we're going to say that even in the time the Balabais has to swear, the Chiyuv Shvur itself will make him remind himself. And Tosfos answers that if the Sochet comes within the time and claims the money, and the Balabais right away denies it, so we can't say let's wait till tomorrow and he should remind himself, because since he started denying, then he's not going to admit, and then he will not really remember, because he will not want to remember, because he knows that he originally denied, and when he'll remind himself later and he'll admit, people will say, look, you're a liar, you lied before. So then a person will not even remind himself either, and therefore it will not help to wait till the next day. And another set of places asks that this chazokah that we say that the Balabais later on after the time will remind himself, and the Gemara gives the reason is because he will not be over on Basolim, this only helps when there is the other chazokah. The Gemara gave the other chazokah that a Sochet does not wait for his salary. So therefore, in the case where he started claiming after the time, we have that chazakah. We told the tzocher, why did you wait till now? The summer, you really got saved, and now you want to get some more. But if he started claiming within the time, so even if we're going to wait for the next day, the chazakah won't be there. Because we can't say it's a chazakah that the tzocher claims in time, and that's why the summer is lying. Because he did claim in time. So we will be left only with one chazakah, but the balabais does not favor only filling. But that is what the Gemara said later on, is not enough, and therefore it wouldn't help if we would wait till the next day. But the Gemara said later on that if he hired him without edus, then the tzocher is not believed because the balabais has a migud. He could have said, I never hired you. And therefore, he is believed when he says that I paid you. Okay, so that's the kasha. What kind of migud is this? Mechura migud means when we suspect the person of lying. So we say, if he has a migud, this proves that he's not lying. Because if he's going to lie, he could have lied a better lie. But in this case, we're not suspecting that he's lying. We're suspecting that he doesn't remember. Since balabais started the parallel, he doesn't remember. He thinks he paid him. That's why he's denying it. So what does a migud help? He thinks he's saying the truth. And Tosef answers that the truth is, in this case, he is not saying Shemar. He's saying clearly, I know for sure I paid you. We suspect that maybe he made a mistake because Torah the Poyalot. But according to his own claim, he says, the Fadish, I didn't forget, and I know for sure that I paid you. So if he doesn't have a Migos, then self-co-self, we say he thinks that he paid him, but we suspect maybe he didn't pay and he just forgot. So we don't suspect that he's lying, but on the other hand, we can't accept his word because after all, maybe he is making a mistake. But if he has a Migos, and a Migos usually helps the other person to be believed, so because we suspect that maybe he's making a mistake, we should take away his nemunah. We should suspect him in lying because he claims he didn't forget. We say he did forget. So we're like saying he's lying when he says he didn't forget. So what kind of right do we have to suspect that he's lying when he has a migul, when usually a migul is a form of the nemunah, a reason to believe the person? So therefore the Gemara says, if he has a migul, even though we suspect maybe he forgot, but since he says he didn't forget, we believe him. If he doesn't have a migul, then after all, we do have a sort of that maybe he forgot, and he doesn't have an extra nemunah, an extra reason to be believed because he has no migul, so then we talk and don't believe him, and we make the tzocher swear and collect his money.